wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. A busy weekend. College football, we'll get to all of that. Some NFL news and notes, who got cut, who is sticking around as the season kicks off on Thursday with the Packers and the Bears. No-hitter yesterday for Justin Verlander, the third of his career. Last hour, we put into perspective what that meant. Verlander puts himself into some rare company with the third. Nolan Ryan has seven. Sandy Koufax has four, including a perfect game. But Bob Feller, Cy Young, Justin Verlander all have three no-hitters. And then we had to look up Larry Corcoran of the Chicago Cubs, because he's also on the list of three no-hitters, but he pitched in the 1880s. So naturally, we said, we have to look up this guy to find out exactly who he was, because I've never heard of him. And so, obviously, he's in the record books. He's in the same category as Cy Young, Bob Feller, and Justin Verlander. Larry Corcoran pitched in the 1880s for the Cubs. Right?
Well, no, he pitched for the Chicago White Stockings.
Oh, he did. The Chicago White Sox Stockings. Okay. Chicago White Stockings.
White Stockings.
He had three no-hitters.
Yes.
Now, who are they against?
Well, his first one. Well, I don't want to give you the first one because I can give you the first one. The first one was against the Boston Red Caps.
Red Caps.
His last one came against the Providence Grays.
Now, who did the Providence Grays turn into? Are they still around as a franchise but then became something else?
Possibly. But it's this third team. Might be the all-time worst team name ever.
Okay.
The Worcester Worcesters.
The Worcester Worcesters?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
They couldn't think of anything else?
They couldn't think of a name. They just went Worcester Worcesters.
Let's just come up with something else.
Yeah. And some of these team names back then are fantastic, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, you do have, way back in the 1880s, you do have the Washington Nationals, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is kind of neat.
But you got the Cleveland Blues.
Cleveland Blues.
Pittsburgh Alleghenies.
Not bad.
Detroit Wolverines.
That's basic.
You do have
the... Be a Tiger. That's easy.
Yeah, Buffalo Bisons.
Buffalo Bisons.
What do you feel about this one? The Brooklyn Bridegrooms.
The Bridegrooms? How great is that? Brooklyn. Trolley Dodgers, shortened to Dodgers. That's better.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up later on this hour. Don't want to miss that busy, busy weekend. Good stuff in college football, too. I was talking about this earlier. Listen, I'm all about the pageantry of college football. I love it. I've loved it since I was a kid. And again, I grew up in New Hampshire where I didn't really get to go experience that. Dartmouth football just wasn't going to quite cut it.
Oh,
but
come on.
But I when I was a kid, Doug Flutie was the big quarterback at the time. And we all used to go out and play football. We'd all want to be Doug Flutie and Gerard Phelan beating Miami. That was about all we had in that area was Boston college football. In terms of big time football. But so I loved it. I wanted to go south. I wanted to experience college football. I loved the sport. And a lot of my friends didn't love the sport. But whenever we get into this moment of, well, which is better, the NFL or college football? Look, the atmosphere at a college game is great. It really is. I mean, because of the students, because of the ability of these schools to fill a stadium with a lot of young, enthusiastic people. You're just not going to get that at an NFL game, all right? I mean, tickets for an NFL game are three figures, right? So you're not going to be able to fill them up with thousands and thousands of young people who are going to paint their chest and jump up and down and scream all game and do all the things that kids do at games, right? I remember one time when I was taking my son Christopher to Colorado Buffalo's games when he was a kid, like a little kid, like third grade, second grade. You know, he was always fascinated with the students and all the fun they seem to have over on that side of the stadium. And I said, yeah, one day when you go to college, this is what you'll do. You'll go to these games and you'll act crazy and insane. And he kind of seemed excited about that. NFL games, you don't do that. But the difference really is in the quality of play. The difference really is what kind of games are you going to get week in and week out? Yeah, Auburn and Oregon was as good as it gets in terms of excitement. The execution, there's a lot to be desired by both teams in that game. Coaching decisions by Oregon really cost them. The stellar play of Bo Nix at the end, even though pedestrian statistics didn't matter, had the heart to go move his team downfield to get that touchdown with 9 seconds remaining. You're going to get those. But a lot of games are 55-3. A lot of games are 48-7. There were a lot of cupcake victories throughout college football. LSU throttled Georgia Southern. Throttled them. No trouble whatsoever. Right? The NFL, you can get, when you get blowouts like that in the NFL, something went seriously wrong. Because even when you play a lousy, lousy NFL team, the margin of victory is, the margin of talent is really not, is very, very slim. Very, very slim. I mean, everybody on the worst NFL team, everybody is one of the greatest players in football on the planet. They're one of the best players on the planet. But college can't give you that. It doesn't really start kicking in until the conference seasons and you get, and sometimes these big matchups of ranked opponents that you get, you know, in your offs, you know, your non-conference schedules that you go out to really pursue and really schedule. Right? I mean, it's unfortunate, but that, you know, that's what you get in college football sometimes. You know, UCF Thursday night beat Florida A&M 62-0. Wisconsin beat South Florida 49-0. That comes with the territory. The atmosphere, I completely agree. It's awesome. And if you have never been to a game, go to a game. It's addicting. Even in my age, it's addicting. You know, I've covered a lot of college games, and it's still fun to see the general enthusiasm of the games. But competition-wise, some of them are a lot to be desired. You really have to, like this weekend, you really had to go around to find competitive games. And sometimes the games were competitive when they really should not have been competitive. Iowa State was in a dogfight with Northern Iowa, game that should have never been like that. Iowa State is ranked, and they needed triple overtime. Great game, great finish. Quarterback for Iowa State jumping on that fumble, and if he doesn't get it, cost them the game. Great moment. But that's too close for comfort. You know, but Alabama, who struggled a little early against Duke, really showed why they're one of the best teams in the nation, of course. I mean, they poured it on. They did what Alabama does. That game was in Atlanta. That game was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, that was a marquee kickoff game, and that was an exhibition.
Didn't you just get the feeling that Alabama was just kind of working out the rust?
Yeah.
Like, this is why they scheduled Duke in the first place. It was like, we got a little... a few kinks here and there. Let's just work it out. Then all of a sudden, it's like, we forgot we're Alabama.
Well, Duke is, you know, that was the question I had this weekend, which was, I know Duke at times has had good teams in the ACC where they're showing something, and David Cutcliffe's a good coach. But this should have never been a kickoff classic at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
No,
in Atlanta, that should have never occurred.
Kickoff classics, if you're going to hold it in a huge NFL stadium, they need to be Auburn, Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Alabama should have been playing, I don't know, I mean, take a Pac-12 opponent for all I care, a Big Ten opponent. And it doesn't even have to be one of the big, big, big ones.
No.
Right? But Alabama, Wisconsin would have been what you send to Atlanta. It's not Duke.
And how many, you know, the most annoying thing about that game were the references to Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Constant. But, oh, my God.
He's not even playing for them anymore. Leave it alone.
He's not even there.
Right, let it go. And then the SEC said, oh, yeah, we'll schedule one big conference game. Georgia will go to Vanderbilt.
Ooh.
Georgia was like, yes, slow down the dogs.
All right, can we gripe? I know we were saying that SEC was, it might have been a down weekend for the SEC.
Yes,
I don't know if it means that the conference is in trouble.
No.
But then when you do compare it with other conferences, who did the Big Ten schedule?
Yeah, no kidding.
My God.
No kidding.
I mean, every single team, every game they had was like, oh, we're just putting up 70 points because.
Let's see. Michigan played MTSU. That was an easy victory. Wisconsin went on the road to Tampa, beat an underwhelming South Florida team, shut them out. Michigan State played Tulsa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that powerhouse, Tulsa.
Yeah, that powerhouse team. And I'm trying to find the other matchups.
No, I know Penn State throttled Idaho.
Oh, when I watched Ohio State, Florida Atlantic, and I thought that, maybe Florida Atlantic in the very beginning. Nope, they didn't.
Yep.
That was no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah, but I know Penn State was 79-7.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then, I don't know.
I saw that one.
Who did Maryland play against? Because they also threw up 70.
Yeah, look at that one. Oh, who did Maryland play? I got my friend Dave Preston covers them, and he was actually posting updates, and I saw that. I was watching that.
Did his hand get tired? Was he just doing copy and paste?
Yeah, just like, nah, I'm done.
Another touchdown. Another touchdown.
Like, even Rutgers won. They beat UMass.
Yeah. I mean, the Big Ten didn't schedule anybody.
No. Purdue played Nevada. Nevada's a pretty good team.
Yeah, well, no. Nevada won.
Oh, Nevada won that game, right?
Yeah, that may or may not be part of the good today. I don't know yet.
Maryland does shut out Howard.
Yes.
79-0.
I forgot that powerhouse, Howard.
Yeah, Illinois beat Akron. Was it Indiana? Indiana beat Ball State. Nebraska took down South Alabama. You mentioned Penn State over Idaho. Idaho's been historically terrible.
I know, and I feel bad my cousin played there.
Yeah, that's right. You put him on the video game.
That's right.
Stanford beat Northwestern, Iowa over Miami University. You're right. Yeah, Michigan over Middle Tennessee State, nothing.
They didn't schedule anybody this weekend.
Yeah, and like I said, that's the difference for me between the NFL and college football. Again, I love the pageantry, and I love when we have good games, and I love when we have good matchups, and we will have good matchups, right? There is something, I will say this, because of the one thing that I liked, and it's starting to go away a little bit, and the more like Tim Brando on social media, who I love, and I love Tim Brando. He's already been, this isn't working. This playoff isn't working. It's got to be eight teams now. It's got to be eight. The more you get more real vocal people, I think we are going to eight. But one of the things about the NFL is when you get a really big regular season game between two top teams, there isn't a feeling of doom that hovers the game like it does in college football. Like in college football, you get people panicking. Like when they're in a big game and they know they can't lose, it's going to cost them a chance at a division title or a spot in the championship, and that could lead, either A, playing in the playoff, or the old ways, the BCS.
Look, I mean, check this out. Saturday night, week one, we're already writing off the Pac-12 in the end of the year championship.
Yeah, sure.
In the to be part of the Final Four. Oregon lost. Oregon was probably their best chance of reaching that pinnacle. They're done.
Yep.
And we're already riding the Pac-12 off. Like, forget it. Now we're just throwing two SEC teams like always. Big 12, Big 10. We got our conference our national championship playoff.
Yeah, and I don't mind the cupcakes so much. I know you can't play everybody tough. You can't have 12 really, really impossible games. I understand it. But it comes with the territory. I mean, it comes with there is going to be viewers that are casually, not fans of either team, flipping on to something else when the scores are out of hand. Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt were doing a great job on Fox. I was watching a little bit of the game. It was getting out of hand for Ohio State. I had no interest in watching the game. And I know Joel Klatt. I used to work with him. And I love him calling football. But I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. I'm sorry. I got to move on to something else or something more compelling. Ohio State was beating up on Florida Atlantic and was watching Justin Fields run up and down was great, but I had to go on to something else, try to find something more competitive. That usually is what happens. I didn't realize I was going to stumble on Iowa State and Northern Iowa. That ended up being pretty neat. That was kind of good. But that's the problem with college football sometimes, is the really good games are very slim in some weekends. Obviously, again, when you get into the conference schedule and it does matter more, that's a completely different game. But the opening weekend, again, the only game that was between two ranked opponents was Auburn and Oregon. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not asking for 10 of them, but there should have been like three. Right? There should have been three really, really, really great, compelling, oh my gosh, this is a really good game for week one. And there wasn't. And maybe when they put it together years ago, they thought Alabama and Duke would be somewhat interesting. But come on, really? I mean, really? Can you imagine, though? I was thinking about this over the weekend, too, and I almost forgot to bring it up. Can you imagine if a few years ago, right? What if Alabama had scheduled Clemson? For an opener, for a week one opener, like back in 2015.
How awesome would that be?
Right? 15, 16, right? They're like, hey, Clemson, Dabo's building his program, right? You know, he's kind of struggling a little bit, but he's doing okay. It's like 2012, 2013, whatever the year when they got walloped by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl, if people remember that one. When he's like at that point, right? And Alabama goes, hey, you know what, Dabo, let's put together a game. Let's schedule a game. You want to schedule a game? Yeah. All right. How about week one, 2019? Okay, yeah, we can do that. Then 2019 will be good. Oh, if we're still here. Yeah, I know. I hear you. That's all right, though. I think you're doing pretty good over there. You're climbing up the ranks. You're doing all right. Yeah, okay, great. We'll put the paperwork together. We'll play you week one. That'll be great. And then it's week one now, and we had Alabama-Clemson to kick off the season because it was scheduled 10 years ago. Like, every time I get these stories of, like, Alabama scheduling so-and-so, or I keep thinking to myself, wow, what if it's a repeat of the national championship game? Mm-hmm. Or what if it could have been the national championship game, except for one small slip-up, and then we get it for week one the next year? That would have been great.
I mean, listen, who would have thought? I mean, we had Auburn, Oregon.
Right.
That
yeah.
could have been. I mean, that was a national championship
that
game
was
years ago.
That 10 years ago.
That could have been something bigger. I mean, had both programs stayed on the same path.
Yeah. That's right.
But no, right. I mean, I almost want the college football to do what the NFL does. And, you know, after the Super Bowl, a lot of times they try to find that good pairing for their opening day.
Yeah.
You know, right. They try to find, I mean, this year they went a little more historic.
Right, but still, the Sunday night game is Steelers-Patriots, yeah. To your point.
And you know? I mean, and that's what we want. We want to see, you know, kick it off the right way.
Yeah, exactly. All right, again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's on Twitter, as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. One little funny tidbit to the Tennessee Georgia State loss that my buddy posted on Facebook. He did a countdown to the start of basketball season, which in the state of Tennessee really is impressive to already go, oh, I guess we're a hoop school now. That's just where
that's
we are
sad.
Now. Right? I mean,
is Tennessee that good in basketball?
They were ranked at number one for a good portion
year,
of the
right?
season last year. They lost some people. But
historically, they haven't been, right?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. I mean, the women's team, obviously,
right.
But not the men's team.
Well, maybe it should be a countdown to women's basketball.
Yeah. Well, the men's team is, you know, they did lose some guys, but they're, you know. But but my friend's point is well taken, which is, like, this hasn't been a football school in a decade. There was one thing that I did want to point out from that game. I really, my heart warmed when I saw this. Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning took a picture together.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was really great. Really great to see those two. Ryan Leaf has turned into a great person.
He really has.
He really has. I'm really happy for him. He's on a steady course of changing lives. His life has changed for the better. I like redemption stories. I really do. I don't like wallowing, especially self-destructive behavior where, yeah, that self-destructive behavior can hurt others, and it usually does. But Ryan Leaf wasn't a violent maniac. He was a person that was dealing with a lot of addiction. He was a very big jerk coming out of college, and now he has really seen his life and what it was and is trying to turn it into to 180. He got to call the game. Peyton Manning was at the game. The two took a picture, you know, going back to the the 98 draft. So that was a really good picture. I was really happy for him because, you know, it's, you know, listen, guys, you know, they always talk about, hey, walk a mile in somebody's shoes. We have no idea what would have been like to be a number one potential pick, right? To be a quarterback where people thought you should be that you could be the number one overall pick, even though it's Peyton Manning coming out of Tennessee and then blowing it all. Just blowing it all up.
And then, but during that time, being constantly compared to Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Who at that time, even young Peyton Manning, you know, rookie Peyton Manning, second year Peyton Manning, was the darling of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone looked at Peyton Manning as like, you know, he came in like, oh, this guy's going to break records. He's going to change the league. He's going to change the quarterback position. And constantly being compared to that must have been almost, I mean, impossible.
Yeah, and for a little bit there, he becomes the, you know, the yang to the yin, right? He becomes the Lex Luthor to the Superman, right? Peyton Manning is slowly emerging, you know, because remember he struggled early. It was like 3-13 his first year. Remember people complained about his audibles and his happy feet and things like that. But then he really started to kick off and take the Colts into another plateau and became the quarterback we all knew he could be at that level. And Leaf was just floundering and terrible and awful to deal with. And
fighting with media.
Yeah, mired in controversy, saying an apology and then crumpling it up and throwing it into the corner. And he becomes the exact opposite of the studious and ever-growing Peyton Manning. And then Leaf's life spirals completely out of control. And to see 25 years later, those two, you know, or 21 years later, those two standing side by side at a game and knowing that Leaf is in a really, really good spot and has turned his life around and is dedicated to helping others with the same issue. It was really impressive. So I didn't want to bring that up.
I'm sure you are a fly on the wall.
Oh, I'd love to hear those two chats. Yeah,
I'd love to have heard it.
I'd love to hear that. So, and you know what? You know what reminds me of? Like the kind of accolades, not accolades, I shouldn't say that's the wrong word. Kind of the way former players are now opening up to Leaf and kind of welcoming back into the football culture. John Daly's always dealt with this, right, on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
John Daly's dealt with alcoholism and addiction and whatnot.
Demons,
a lot of demons. But his people love him a lot. And people on tour love him a lot. He's a very, very popular. So Daly has a bunch of fans that will always support him. They'll always come out. They want to see him. They want to, you know, they just want to give him support. But within the golf community on the PGA Tour, John Daly is a beloved guy, and they all wanted to reach out and help him. They all want to reach out and help him with his recovery and his return to golf and all of those things. Even Tiger. Tiger really, really liked John Daly. And to see Leaf kind of get this same kind of treatment from people, it's refreshing to see because his life could have been really, really out of control and never come back. And yet it did. So remember this guy that broke into a house to steal prescription pills.
Yeah, I mean not just a house. Broke into one of his students' houses.
Yeah, yeah.
The student that he was coaching broke into his house to steal pills.
Yeah, and went to jail for it. So yeah, it was a very, very nice picture. And he's on the call. He's become a broadcaster and a pretty good one. So
yeah,
you know, good for him. So my wife did tell me she says so. Obviously, she goes, obviously, the Georgia-Vanderbilt game is pretty big. Tim Tebow's in town. I go, it's the only SEC versus SEC game in town. It's not a big deal. Georgia is going to
easily beat the Governors. It's always a big deal when Tebow's in town.
Yeah, when Tebow's in town. And my wife says, and his fiance's here, too. I go, yeah, Miss Universe? Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
Was there a different aura in town?
I guess.
I mean, I think, you know, it's the town's probably well-protected at that moment. Right. Could do no wrong.
Nope.
Everyone could sin. Yep. If they wanted to, you'd be absolved immediately.
Oh, Tebow's in town for the SEC Network road show at Vanderbilt Stadium. Oh, God. And that place was filled with Georgia fans, by the way. Georgia travels. You know what it is? I'm telling you, these fans that they got money, they don't mind. They'll buy up all the tickets.
Even
they
the
don't
ones
care.
Who don't have money.
I think
that it's one of the probably the best travel day for college football is Labor Day weekend. Because everyone's like, oh, you know what? Monday's off.
That's right.
Let's just go.
I know I've told this story before, but I want to repeat it because it's kind of relevant. Years and years ago, Air Force had a home game against Oklahoma, and the only way to get that game was to buy season tickets, and every Oklahoma fan bought season tickets to Air Force football to get that one game, and after the game started handing the ticket booklets to anybody that was wearing Air Force blue. Like, hey, can you use these? Because we don't need these anymore. Thanks. Bye. On our way back to Norman and the state. See ya. Have a good one. Bye. It's just so great. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Labor Day Monday. I don't know if that's different from normal Mondays, but we shall find out. What is the good today,
well,
Mr. Coleman?
Well, you know what? I'm sorry to say this to all you non-college football fans, but this is very heavy college football influence today.
Yes, okay.
It's got to be, right?
Sure.
The first good. You mentioned it earlier when we were talking about Big Ten playing nobody but that. Purdue played against somebody. They played against the Nevada Wolfpack team that I wouldn't say they're a powerhouse team, but they are scrappy.
Yeah.
But where the good comes in is freshman, true freshman. We're saying that a lot today.
Oh, my God. It's a lot.
True freshman kicker Brandon Talton crushed a game-winning 56-yard field goal to take down Purdue. And immediately afterwards, in the locker room, the coach is not only handing him a game ball, but handing him a full ride.
Yeah, that's great. Great. 56-yard field goal, and you get a full ride after that.
Yeah, that's a great day for him.
That's a great day for him. As a former kicker, Mr. Culver, when you kick a ball that far, do you have a feeling when you hit it that you got it?
Yeah, the only thing, when you hit it and you know it's going straight down the uprights, you know it's in.
You know it's gone. Like, we say, is it got the distance? As a kicker, do you go, no. I think it's got the distance. I know it's got the
and
distance.
And that's why a lot of times you'll start seeing kickers kind of celebrate.
Oh, I've seen
you'll
that
start
a couple
seeing
times.
Them fist pump because they know that the only thing that could stop them right now is if there was a tornado that came down. Because even a good gust of wind, it's not going to change it too much.
Yeah.
So you
that's
know,
right.
And I mean, you know immediately when you kick it, you know if it has the distance or not.
That's awesome. A 56-yarder for the freshman.
Yeah.
That's great. And he got a scholarship out of it. That is really good.
And got a scholarship. That
good
was,
for him.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, you brought up Nevada. Nevada, and this is years ago. Nevada felt like it was that one team that was a pain in the butt to Boise State.
Yeah.
Remember, Boise State would be undefeated, and everybody would go, they deserve a shot at the BCS championship. And then they'd run into, like, Nevada. Nevada would beat them. And it would just go, oh, well, there you go. Colin Kaepernick went to Nevada and when they were good.
Yep.
So back in the day. I know it was a while ago, but, you know, that's what I feel about. That's how long ago Nevada was.
Yeah, I've seen many games at the, I don't know what they call that stadium, Wolfpack Stadium or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Tough place to play.
Used to go see there because, my cousin went to University of Idaho and that was the best chance I could see him play was at Nevada.
Idaho is the Vandals, right?
Vandals.
Yeah.
They got vandalized this past weekend.
I think Mark Schlereth, former Redskin Bronco lineman, I think he went to Idaho.
I think so, too.
Yeah. All right. What, is there another good or we go
there,
right to
no,
the
there is No, there is another good.
Okay, great.
We haven't really touched on him yet. Bo Nix. We touched on him briefly.
Yeah, we got to get more on Bo Nix.
But the good with Bo Nix, I don't know if you saw this photo of him as a kid.
No.
He is. It's great. It's Bo Nix celebrating Auburn's championship in 2011 with Cam Newton.
Oh, very cool.
Bo Nix is in the stands. Cam Newton has jumped into the stands, I'm presuming either after the national championship has been won or after a touchdown or whatever. But you know how players just go and just sit in the stands.
Yeah.
Just jump up. He did that. And he literally is a foot away from maybe a 10-year-old Bo Nix.
I was going to say Bo Nix must have been like 10 back in the day. That was in 2011.
It's about a 10-year-old 10-year-old Bo Nix.
Yeah, he's like 18, 19 now. So, yeah.
I thought it was very good.
The picture of his dad. That is just so it was such a good picture because you know, Pat Nix obviously went to Auburn, was a quarterback at Auburn, so he's obviously elated that his school won, but you couple that with your kid throwing a touchdown pass with 9 seconds remaining in the biggest game of the college football weekend. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty great. Good for him. And again, you know, you could have all the confidence in the world on your kid, right? You can believe your kid's the best and it's going to be great, but you don't really know. Like, you don't really know how he's going to do. And he looked like there was a lot of times in that game where he looked like, oh, I don't know. This is tough. But he just hung in there. Give me a chance. Give me the ball. And eventually it turned out great for him.
Good for him. True fresh, 1946, the last time Auburn started a true freshman quarterback.
Wow.
Paid off.
True freshman. Dominated the good today.
I remember when I was a true freshman in college, if the idea that I would be the biggest person on campus seemed would just have been mesmerizing.
Oh, I don't know if I could handle it.
I don't either. Because I was like 18 years old and everybody wanted a piece of me. Like everybody wanted to pat me on the back and spend time with me and
My first semester in college was my worst semester in college. Because that's when I found out that teachers didn't care if you showed up or not.
Yeah,
they still
I know.
Got paid the same.
That's right.
And so if you missed a class, you didn't have to come and bring a note or have your parents sign a note for you. You just showed up the next day and they didn't even acknowledge you were there or not.
No, sometimes people just got up in the middle of class and walked out. Remember? They had things to do.
People eating in class. I'm like, what is going on? This is fantastic. Why haven't I had this all my life?
Yeah,
Yeah, you know, it was the most fun I had semester, but it was probably my worst semester I could ever.
Right, I know. All right, what's the bad today?
The bad of the day, and I'm still sticking with college-esque because this is a main staple for most college kids, Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is drastically changing their menu.
I saw this, and people are complaining.
And they're getting rid of 9 items, and the top one is, it does that. This one strikes home for me because I love this one. I don't know why, but they are going to get rid of the double decker taco.
They're getting rid of the double decker taco.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
The other items they're getting rid of are Cool Ranch Doritos tacos, Fiery Doritos tacos, Double Tostada, Beefy Mini Quesadilla. The Chipotle Chicken Griller. I didn't even know they did chips and salsa. Extra, extra large grilled stuffed burrito and the Power Menu Burrito.
Wow.
So you have, out of those 9 items, you have until September 12th. Because come September 13th, the items are gone.
And you know somebody is going to load September 12th. Up, right? You know somebody's going to go like, I want 75 double-decker tacos.
Yep.
Because I'm going to save them, and I'm going to freeze them, and I'm going to keep them around.
Or
in some awful capacity.
I'm going to sell them for $5,000 like a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
That's right. Exactly. Speaking of which, I saw this one report where some musician on a jet got like all the sandwiches that were left, like a big bag of sandwiches.
God.
Oh, gosh. And then that's it.
But there is a hashtag right now, which is Save the Double-Decker.
Oh, yeah.
So you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's very much so. And Taco Bell may not, and then come back and say, due to popular demand, and it's all been planned this way.
And it just, to boost sales.
That's right.
Like Taco Bell needs to boost sales.
It's
a college staple.
So many nights, man. So many late nights. It's the only thing open.
They do it right. They keep their prices low, and they're open late.
Yep. I got into my town once really late, and that's the only thing that's open. And I asked the kid behind the drive-thru, I said, what time you close? He goes, 3 a.m. I go, oh, God, that's great.
Yep.
To know you're available at 3 a.m. at 2:30 in the
across the country.
That's unreal how great that is.
And I guarantee they're probably busier after midnight than they are before.
I guarantee it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
they're making all the cheap stuff, though, but that guarantee they're open.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is... this right here. I never thought in a million years I'd hear a referee utter these words.
Wide receiver set. Jones does drop back to pass. Has Warren Newman. And Newman with the score, the layout. And another touchdown for the Tigers. And we see a little bit more penalty flags out on the field.
Nice separation. They reviewed it, called a touchdown.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Jackson State mascot for coming onto the field.
What is the Jackson State mascot?
A tiger.
Is it a tiger?
He came onto the field. Basically, this is what happened. Picture this, if you will. The wide receiver came down with the ball in the end zone, but he's wrestling with the defensive back.
Right.
The Jackson State mascot came onto the field. I don't know if the touchdown signal had been given yet because the two players were still wrestling. He decided to start pulling off the other player.
Oh.
So an unsportsmanlike penalty was given, nullifying the touchdown and blah, blah, blah.
Jackson's, did this have an effect on the game?
I don't know if it had an effect on the game.
Because if you're that kid behind that costume,
You're done.
You can just see some lunatic coach going, "That never again is he allowed to wear that tiger outfit." I don't even know. Maybe even the Jackson State coach is a nice guy. I don't even know. But
I've never heard of a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct called on
yeah, me either.
A mascot.
I know Sebastian the ibis, the seagull, the Miami Hurricane, the seagull, the bird.
Yeah,
I know he's done some close to getting in trouble things. Like, they weren't supposed to have smoke. They weren't supposed to run through the smoke one time, so he brought a fire extinguisher and used the fire extinguisher to let the players run out, and he almost got in trouble for that. He's done some close things, but no, I've never heard unsportsmanlike conduct calling a mascot before. That, and because that would be the last straw. You're done as a mascot if that ever happens. It cost you a touchdown? Forget it. God, I hope they scored right after that. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Labor Day Monday as we roll along on SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
Turn it up!
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. One other good that we wanted to get to was the tennis over the weekend. Naomi Osaka against Coco Gauff. And Osaka, the number one player in the world, seeded one in the U.S. Open, really did quick work of Coco Gauff, the 15-year-old. But nevertheless, still a good run for Coco Gauff, and the crowd was behind her.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look, she's 15, and you learn from these kind of things. You get beat by the number one player in the world, and you get beat in straight sets. No need to hang your head. You know, like I said, she was for a few days, she was the toast of the tournament. Everybody was really behind her. So anyway, Osaka, sensing this, that there is a, a need for her, she wanted to bring her up to the post-match interview that's only given to the winner. And Coco Gauff said, I didn't want to do it, but she talked me into it because, you know, and she got to thank the crowd and talk about how she's going to learn from this. And Osaka's been great. And then Naomi Osaka takes the mic. And she throws these great compliments at Coco Gauff's parents and said, oh, I remember when you guys used to train at the same facility, and the fact that we're both here is pretty amazing. You're amazing. It was really a great moment. Good for Naomi Osaka to do that. That was really great.
Yeah.
Really. Good moment.
Yeah. I mean, you had the warm fuzzies.
Yeah, it was really good.
When you look back, it's like, that's what sports are about sometimes. You know, I mean, just – Osaka, I don't think Coco Gauff ever really had a chance.
No, not really.
Osaka is just, she's at the top of her game right now. She's playing great and made quick work of Coco Gauff. But it's good on Osaka to realize, listen, you are the talk of the tournament so far.
Yeah.
And let's give what the fans want. They don't want to hear from me right now.
And they want to hear from you.
They'll hear from me hopefully, a week from now.
That's right. Right. Let's make this. Let's give you the closing moment on this, mm-hmm. Because, I my cousin, who I spent some time with this weekend, his wife is a big tennis fan. And I told her the story that I said on on Friday's show. Thursday night, I'm bouncing around looking for some football. All right, UCLA Cincinnati's on. Okay, some other games are on later. Oh, U.S. Open's on. I wonder who's playing. It's Coco Gauff. And again, I wish I knew the opponent, but I didn't really care. And it was mesmerizing. I couldn't stop watching it. It was that good. And I liked it because the crowd was really into it. Arthur Ashe Stadium on a Thursday night in New York. It was just a great atmosphere. She was what everybody was wanting to see. She was selling tickets for people to come see her. Osaka is the defending champ, and we'll get her time. There's no question. She knows that. She'll get her time. But let Coco Gauff be able to thank all the people that have come out, supported her, and let her have a little bit of moment because she deserves it.
Well,
that was what it was.
And also, you give her that moment because this is the future.
That's right.
Gauff, I mean, she's not going away anytime soon.
No. No, but it's amazing to look how young Naomi Osaka is and realize she's 6 years older than Coco Gauff.
Some good genes.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That means if those two were to establish a rivalry, Coco Gauff could be 21 and she'd be 27.
Yep.
So it's not like
the old maid on the tennis circuit.
That's right. So, But still, really, really good moment. Good moment in tennis. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. It's a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, there's so many sports. I mean, you know, it's almost like Justin Verlander's no-hitter is an afterthought to this weekend.
Oh, I know. Completely. And that's, I mean, you throw that's
terrible
to
think about. Like, yeah, you know, it's a, I mean, it's an accomplishment. It doesn't happen all the time. And we're almost like, that's page five news. We've got all this college football to get through. We've only touched one of the NFL trades.
I know.
We haven't touched all of them.
Right. Completely.
And I heard there's one rumor I'm not happy about.
Melvin Gordon?
Well, I'm already giving up on that one. No, I'm saying the Raiders. One. I can't remember. Who did the Raiders sign? They signed... They picked up a quarterback, Deshaun Kizer.
Oh, Deshaun Kizer, yeah.
Which means...
That our board Peterman...
That means, you know, that might be the end of Mike Glennon or Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, that's right.
I would love to see that conversation.
Oh, Keelan Doss got cut by the Raiders. He was. I don't know you're not seeing Hard Knocks yet, but he was a Hard Knocks favorite, and he got cut. So I'm looking forward to seeing all the cuts on Tuesday. How they got taken down. So...
Yep.
Yeah.
Did we have the moment we're hoping for, where someone just went in there and said, "Man, that's
I can't. I'm waiting 1 year. 1 year, it's going to happen. Yeah. And then like LeSean McCoy got cut and got signed by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like imagine that. Like thank you Buffalo. Appreciate that. Now I'm going to go run for a Super Bowl, which wasn't going to happen here. So thanks a lot. Appreciate you letting me go so I could go sign with a contender. Yeah, we didn't even get to a lot of the stuff from the NFL. It's been a really busy weekend. Kansas City Chiefs, though, are on the clock. It's AFC West week on SB Nation Radio.